Chauncey Peltier is our final guest today on The Exchange. His last name should certainly ring a bell. Chauncey is the son of Leonard Peltier, who's serving time in federal prison for a shootout with FBI agents in the 70s. Leonard Peltier's supporters say he's really a political prisoner being punished for his role in the American Indian movement. Leonard makes art in prison. Chauncey sells it. And Chauncey will be in Ashland tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at the Meese Room at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University with Ed Littlecrow. He's here on The Exchange with us by phone now, or was anyway. We're going to have to get him hooked back up again. Sure. So let me get you there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, different line. There we go. Okay. Hi, Chauncey. Good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
For people who do not know the story, why are there such strong feelings about your father and the insistence by many people that he is a political prisoner?
Well, Leonard's case, this is one of the biggest rights violation cases in history, and one of the he's one of the longest held political prisoners in the world. And what makes it so famous is you've had Democratic and Republicans that said he needed to have a retrial are set free. You've had a Judge Haney has said the same thing. The Attorney General. And then you've had numerous supporters, doctors, lawyers, other judges, over the 40 years saying, you know, there's no evidence of this man doing this. You know, he needs to be set free or a retrial. And, that's why he has so many supporters, because this is the justice system that we all live by and abide by every day. And if that's why he has so many, you know, this is the biggest rights violation case in history. And this is what we all live by and abide by every day. Otherwise, we'd be in the system too. And so that's all we're asking, you know, is them to honor the justice system. I mean, because when you have the Attorney General, Democratic and Republicans, judges, saying there's no evidence of this, and, you know, there's been different quotes out there. Well, we don't know who shot the agents, but we got our guy. You know, that ain't the justice system that a lot of these veterans went and fought for and gave their lives for. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I turned 50 in November, but when I was a kid growing up, you used to always hear, innocent until proven guilty, land of the free and the proud. And that's why a lot of these veterans went and fought for this country. Well, nowadays you don't hear that. Now it's if you have the big mighty dollar, you could get away with anything. And I don't believe that that's what a lot of these people have fought for this country. And that's what this country was founded on.
Chauncey, given how long your father has been in prison, how well were you able to get to know him growing up?
Well, when I was a little boy they basically shanghaied him, falsified the ballistics, perjured themselves to lock him up. He told me to go to Oregon, live my own life, and try to stay out of a lot of political stuff. And I tried that, you know, but being Leonard's son, you know, I kind of grew up in a logger farmer town, you know, and I got a little trouble here and there. And being harassed by people that knew that I was Leonard's son, we could say DAs, we could say retired FBI agents, kind of, you know, I got a little harassment too over the years over it. And, that's, you know, and I did try to live my life. I worked years in the local 296 out of Portland, Oregon as a hod carrier. Mm-hmm. And, luckily I've always had a good job and I, there you go, you know, hired a good attorney and, got out of trouble. But a lot of times, because of my last name and my father, I felt like society and a lot of these drug me back into it. And then I decided, you know, well, I'm who I am. This is my heritage and this is my bloodline. And I've always went to rallies and learned about Leonard. I always stayed in the background. A lot of times I'd go to that and I wouldn't even tell people I was Leonard's son. So I had always looked over it and read about it ever since I was a little boy. And, they basically violated all my father's rights, you know. And that's what I'm asking, is for justice for Leonard.
Chauncey Peltier is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His father is Leonard Peltier, who is serving time in federal prison for the, an incident that has been portrayed in documentary film as Incident at Oglala, which Chauncey and Ed Little Crow will be talking about and showing tomorrow night at 6 at the Meese Room at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. You can join our discussion on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Did you think a long time ago something might have changed with Leonard's status, given the numbers of people who feel as you do?
Well, there you go, the number of people in status. Well, for 40 years, let's say the people that locked him up and sending him letters, slandering him, harassing him. The federal guidelines before 1986 said he was due to get out in 2013. You know, and then up to about 8 months ago, I had his art displayed at Tumwater, Washington as a Native American artist. Nothing for sale, nothing political, and it was Indigenous Peoples Month. Well, they had called up and had art removed. Well, right there, boom, they just violated Leonard's rights again. After 40 years, they are still violating this man's rights. And when you have judges, Democratic and Republicans, and the Attorney General, you know, saying all this stuff, there's no evidence of this man doing this, and they're still violating this man's rights over these years. It's just chaotic. You know, all Leonard wants to do is go home. He's 71 years old. He lives in a maximum security prison, and he's got diabetes. He has an aneurysm, which is it was the size of a AAA battery, but I just got informed the other day that it's growing a little bit. And he's 71 years old. He's not even supposed to be in a maximum security prison. He's supposed to be in a medium security prison somewhere.
And he's in Florida, is that right?
He's in Coleman, Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's pretty much a gang prison. Anytime any of those guys get in a fight, they lock the whole prison down.
Now, he's been beaten in prison, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's been jumped in there by guys and, you know, as an old man. You know, when I go in there and I visit my father, and he tells me, Chauncey, look around here. These guys are all 20, 30 years old. You know, this is a maximum security prison. These guys ain't in here for cheating on golf. He says, I can't defend myself in here no more, you know. And that's one of the main things is why I'm really campaigning for him, is because Obama has said he's been questioned about Leonard 3 to 4 times. And every time he says, I know Leonard has supporters all over the world. I know Leonard has supporters that are president of countries. I want to see the supporters in the United States. So that's why I've been out campaigning Florida, New Mexico, up and down the West Coast, just all over, putting out business cards with clemency numbers on there, personal postcards. We need to flood the White House with this, and that's Obama's asking to see the supporters for Leonard.
Is there a particular push now, Chauncey, because we are in the last year of President Obama's term, and he could give an 11th-hour clemency on his way out the door?
Yes, that's what we were hoping, because, you know, Leonard ain't going to make it another 8 years for asking another president for clemency. You know, his health issues, if Obama don't release him, my father's going to die in there.
Had you gotten your hopes up before when Bill Clinton was leaving the White House?
Yeah, well, yeah. Bill Clinton told Leonard's legal team to write up a release statement. And somehow he changed his mind. You know? So, I mean, when I go to a lot of these events, people come to me and say, well, I thought Bill Clinton let him out. Well, right. I thought Leonard's been out. You know, and a lot of people still say that, you know? And I go, no, he's still in there. Well, I signed a petition before. Well, I have to have a new set of petitions with every president. If they rolled over with every president, Leonard would have probably 50 million signatures in there in support of clemency. Russia had actually sent 14 million signatures for clemency for Leonard Peltier. When Reagan was the president, Reagan was asking Gorbachev about human rights, and Gorbachev said, what about Leonard Peltier? And he didn't want to talk about human rights no more. So, I mean, this, there you go, you know.
Leonard did admit firing shots on that day at the reservation, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But he thought, you know, they were defending themselves from that era in 1975 to 1976. There was over 200 Native Americans murdered and mutilated. And they've said, the attorney general and everybody said, that both sides were equally at fault at this. Those guys didn't know they were. You think they weren't suicidal? You think they would be shooting out with two FBI agents? They thought they were shooting out with the goon squads, the ones that were running around kicking the doors in on Grandma and Grandpa, trying to get them to sign the Black Hills away. That's what this was basically about, was they were trying to steal the Black Hills, which they still are, from Pine Ridge. So that's why a lot of people look, Native American people look at Leonard like a protector of the earth, because those guys basically prolonged that when that happened.
John C. Peltier is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange's Fathers, Leonard Peltier. When you look at situations like the way that your father's case was dealt with, and then, for example, for a long time, nothing was done about the standoff with the BLM and all the people who collected at the Bundy Ranch in Nevada 2 years ago. I mean, do you draw some comparisons between those kinds of cases?
Well, not really, because all the Native American people are doing is asking for their land that's theirs in a treaty that's supposed to be a couple of hundred years old. Every time a lease of the Native Americans' land comes up, it don't go back to the Indians. They take it from them. These people over there in eastern Oregon, that wasn't even their land. That was a lease deal. I mean, you know, they had a lease with them. Mm-hmm. You know, originally that was Native American land. So now what happens if a bunch of Indians went over there and started wanting their land back?
Mm-hmm. So that was the question, was whether things are dealt with differently if you're Native American versus not.
I actually believe so, and just don't ask me, but ask any other Native American ask them that question of what they think would have happened if that would have been a bunch of Native Americans or a bunch of minorities.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah, we almost got to that question with Donnell Alexander in the previous segment. Let's talk about the artwork that Leonard's been doing, because it looks like there's a lot of it.
Yes, there's probably 300 pieces out there or better. We've been doing a lot of murals up in Olympia, Washington. There was just a mural done in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're working on a couple more up in Seattle. I just put a bunch of, on this event I'm doing in July to July 24th, I'm doing a motorcycle/caravan from Banks, Oregon to D.C. in support of clemency for Leonard Peltier. I've already had a guy from U.K., I've got a couple from Olympia signed up to come in a motorhome, a couple guys from Portland. I got probably about 12 people signed up so far. And I'm going to go 300 miles a day, and I got a state park reserved, and I'll have an open mic, and we're going to go, there's people from New York and Florida. People are going to come and ride with me. They might not be able to ride the whole way, but they'll come and ride through their state. And showing support for Leonard. And this is all I'm asking is for the justice for Leonard. You know, us taxpayers have been paying 40 years to keep this man wrongfully incarcerated. And enough is enough. When he went to court, they had actually only gave his legal team $18,000, where the DA and the feds have spent over millions of dollars, and we're still paying to this day taxpayers' dollars to keep this innocent man in prison.
Is there anybody
and he's
else?
He's 71 years old. Mm-hmm. He wants to go home and paint and work on old cars. That's all he wants, to Leonard, die at home.
Did Leonard end up just being the focus? I mean, are there other people who have been kept in for the same case for this amount of time, too?
No. Well, they caught four of them. They let one go because they didn't have nothing on them. Dino Butler and Bobby Robitu got tried over there in, I want to say, Wichita, Kansas. They pleaded self-defense. They got acquitted. If Leonard would have been with them, they figured he would have got acquitted easily, too. But no, that's when they brought him to Bismarck, North Dakota, up there, where they had a known racist judge, an all-white jury. They actually falsified the ballistics. They tempered with the witnesses. And it goes on and on and on. That's why you have Supreme Court judges, you have attorney generals, you have Democratic and Republicans supporting Leonard.
All right. A lot of people who've gotten behind him over the years. There'll be a Freedom for Leonard Peltier event tomorrow. That's June 3rd at 6 o'clock with Chauncey Peltier and Ed Little Crow at the Hannon Library Meese Room on the Southern Oregon University campus, which includes the showing of the documentary Incident at Ogallala. Chauncey Peltier, thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Take care.